It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, let's get ideas flowing in for this color-only program. First one of the year, your suggestions for future segments are the topic of conversation. And along the way, we recall great discussions with guests and memorable on-air moments. And your participation here is really important. Let's hear what programs you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What do you want to learn more about? What deserves more attention? Join in this caller-only program. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email your show ideas to ideas@wpr.org. Kristen from Fond du Lac requested more shows about marijuana regulations and steps toward deregulation. And this month, we talked about a Republican-backed proposal to allow medical marijuana in Wisconsin. And we talked about the measure with pharmacy historian at UW-Madison, Luke Rickert.
I mean, Western-based science and medicine has known about the medical value of cannabis for over 200 years. And 200 years ago, cannabis was used for a host of different ailments, whether or not it was chronic coughs or pain associated with childbirth, a variety of different issues. And now what we're dealing with is a variety of different ailments, again, related to epilepsy, seizures, pain reduction. And what you see... At least in some states like Illinois, they have a list of 50 plus conditions that they use medical cannabis for versus the 15 plus, or maybe it's, I think it's 15 that we've decided to put into this bill.
That there, Luke Rickert from UW-Madison School of Pharmacy. Let's bring in Dave in Verona with an idea. Dave, hi.
Hi. You know, there's a lot of evidence of spraying in the sky. Yesterday morning, the sky was full of what's being termed chemtrails, which is, these are not normal planes flying around up there like jets, flying passengers around. There's spraying all over in the sky, and that stuff is coming down and making people ill.
Aerial spraying, okay. And do you find, Dave, that that has been an ongoing concern for you? Or something that has just come up?
This has been going on for years. In fact, there was a Isthmus report on this about 20 years ago in the Isthmus paper, and a Air Force general responded to that saying, yes, we are spraying in the sky, and it's become much more worse. Yesterday, the whole sky was full of this stuff. And then it rains or snows, it brings it down. People breathe this stuff into them, and they get ill. And it's affecting plants as well.
Dave,
whatever's in that spray that they're filling the sky with, and it's all over the country.
Dave, thank you for that segment idea on aerial spraying, the cause and reasons. Appreciate that. Scott in Wanakee, go ahead. Scott, hi.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Go ahead.
So my idea is to have a discussion about behavior in the classroom, bullying on the playground. I'd love to hear comments from teachers, parents, administrators about the disruptions in our classroom and what we can do about that to make sure we have a proper learning environment for the kids that want to learn.
So disruptions in the classroom, on the playground, and really how to address it to have a more calm learning environment. Is that what I'm hearing?
Exactly. You know, there are kids that are trying to learn and can't. I'm hearing stories about, we weren't able to do anything in class today because the kids wouldn't shut up and those kinds of things. And parents aren't aware, I don't think, if their kids are the ones doing it. So how can we make sure the parents are aware of who is being disruptive in the classroom so that parents can help address it? And the administrators, I think to a certain degree, their hands are tied from a legal standpoint of what they can do. So I think we need some serious brainstorming on what our options are, because it seriously needs to be addressed.
Scott, thank you for bringing that to the table. Thanks for calling in as we explore where we should go next. It's caller-only programs. We gather up all your show ideas and the topics you think could use more time and attention. You can also email them to ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring in Sarah now in Milwaukee. Sarah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What would you like to add here?
I think it'd be great to hear more this year, maybe about labor policies. So what you, what your employer can and can't control with what you do outside of the workplace and even after you work at a place. So maybe regarding non-compete clauses, but even while you're employed, what their policy can regulate for when you're outside of work, maybe with your social media presence online or even outside of there. I think that line is, especially since remote work proliferated after COVID, I think that line became increasingly blurred. So I think it'd be interesting to see, like, to talk more about what really is appropriate and what isn't.
Have you observed changes in your own workplace around such policies or such governance?
Well, I had changed jobs right around that time, so it's not like I left or I finished college, so I don't have as much experience directly, but I've seen, heard from a lot of friends about, well, who've struggled to work after having a non-compete clause and then getting laid off during the tech layoffs, and also from other friends who've had who've been fired for working at a second job and their you know, afterwards during their off time, and their employer didn't like it very much, and then based on what they post online, that might not be bad, it might be like a sarcastic joke or something, but it's just the employer doesn't want any attention on the company, and so
Sarah, thank you. Yes. Thank you for bringing those examples of labor policies and also non-compete clauses as well on what companies can and can't do to their employees during their off hours. Tomas in Madison now. Tomas, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
So I wanted to maybe hear, and kind of inspired by the past piece with Ron Johnson, more about the kind of changing geopolitical landscape and the need for a multipolar world, and how the United States specifically should be positioning itself in order to avoid getting sucked into World War III.
What type of expert might you think could address a discussion like that?
I'm sure there are many different types of experts that could weigh in. I'm sure economic interests play a big role, but also human rights experts, all kinds of people, I'm sure, could voice in on what might contribute to the downward spiral and how we could avoid that downward spiral.
Do you follow international news and events very closely?
Yes. As much as I can, and as much information as is available. Yeah.
Tomas, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening and sharing that on exploring geopolitics and a multipolar world where we're headed. Chris in Port Wing is here. Chris, hi.
Good morning. I'm hoping that you could get Catherine Hayhoe on. She's a Christian climate scientist. Very interesting person, and she recently wrote a book called Saving Us, which is subtitled A Climate Scientist Case for Hope and Healing in a Divided World. It's a book about how to start conversations about climate and climate scientists with a wide range of people so that we get a broader discussion about what's going on with our climate, what we can do to it, what the positive solutions are, and just how to break down the barriers that we're seeing in this kind of strangely polarized political world that we're in.
So Catherine Hayhoe, Saving Us, and having an ability to talk with each other and be able to come to the table on climate change with more honest conversations and, you know, really understanding the realities of the climate crisis.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity. There's also one other good book recently put out called Five Times Faster, Rethinking the Science, Economics, and Diplomacy of Climate Change. That's by Simon Sharp. But I would start with Catherine Hale because the Christian perspective on this is very interesting.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for calling in as well as being part of the program as we do a caller-only program, gathering up your interests for future segments this month and beyond. We are going to listen back a bit to conversation highlights. What do you think should be getting more attention in these times? What author do you want to bring to the table? What do you want people to know? Drop us a line, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's a caller-only program, and thanks to our producers, we have hundreds of guests each year who bring their knowledge, they bring their experience to share with us in Wisconsin, and we want to know, who do you want to hear from? What are your ideas for future segments? You can send them our way, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Mike in Milwaukee now. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, good morning to you.
Good morning.
There's an article that was just released by The Lancet magazine. It's entitled Racism and Child Health Care in the United States. It was published January 17th, 2024, and it talks about racial and ethnic inequalities in the quality of pediatric care in the U.S., a review of quantitative evidence. I could go on, but I don't want to do that. I think the authors of that article would be awesome to have on. I noticed in the city of Milwaukee, Children's Hospital closed down a very, very necessary pediatric care unit in the Metcalf area. The only thing that was nearby for a lot of parents in that area that don't have cars or would have to take a sick child by bus or walk nearly 2 miles for health care for their children. And St. Francis Hospital shut down the maternity clinic, and there was another attempt of a major hospital closing down healthcare for children and babies. And that's happening in Milwaukee, and it's happening nationwide where there's less care and the quality of the care is being diminished. So, Mike,
appreciate you sharing that article with us and how to apply it here in Wisconsin, looking at pediatric care and inequities. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to another Mike. This is Mike in New London now. Mike, hi.
Good morning, Kate. I appreciate you guys taking my call. The idea I'd like dug into, I do not know who would speak to it well, is the concept of, we have, of course, a national debt that is an annual, or the deficit, pardon me. The deficit is the annual, and the national debt is the sum of all the deficits, of course. I'd like somebody to put this in perspective of what it means for the future, what we need to do. Given the current divisiveness, I happen to be a progressive myself, which, whatever, but I believe in spending, but I also believe in financial responsibility. And at some point, instead of tax cuts by the GOP, I mean, we need to come together in the middle, which nobody's willing to do. I appreciate you listening.
Mike, I appreciate you calling in that idea. Yes, and we have it down. Randy is listening, wrote to us by email at ideas@WPR.org. And Randy is suggesting talk about food additives and health and worries that artificial colors and flavors are making people more sick and that people just can't afford the natural and organic foods. Randy, thank you for bringing that health and eating type conversation to the table. Jen in Eau Claire is here. Jen, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I just wanted to bring attention to the community of cottage bakers that are in Wisconsin. I own a business in Eau Claire, and I and myself and all of my friends who bake and prepare things at home sell at farmers markets and festivals, and we sell out of our homes as well, and it was legalized in 2017.
How has it been going?
Oh, it's going so well. It's just absolutely booming. The reason I called is there's actually a bill being proposed currently. It's Bill 897, and it would legislate our ability to generate revenue and put a few restrictions on our ability to work out of our homes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all kind of rallying right now, and it would be wonderful if we could maybe have a show with some cottage bakers to inform people what we do and why we do it. And
so right now, do cottage bakers mostly put their products in like in the local community, or you know, like a farmer's market presence?
Yeah, exactly. We sell at farmers markets, artisan vendor markets, street fairs, any, you know, musical event. You know, you might find a cottage baker mm-hmm. at all of those places, or several altogether.
What do you bake in particular? What's your specialty?
I bake artisan sourdough and whole grain treats, and I purchase most of my flour from organic wheat growers in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Do you have a secret for that sourdough starter?
You know, I think my best advice is it's not as hard as we're led to believe.
Oh.
It's actually quite resilient. It's quite resilient.
Oh, well, I appreciate you sharing this. Cottage bakers, it's I just really appreciate the topic suggestion, Jen, and all the best to you on this effort. And we'll look into the legislation as well. Tim in New Berlin now is here. Tim, hi.
Hi. Yes, I would. Maybe perhaps we could get Caroline Delbert to speak on the morning show, hopefully. Caroline Delbert is a writer for Popular Mechanics, and she wrote an article in Popular Mechanics in the January-February 2021 magazine about wireless transmission of power and how it is taking place in New Zealand right now. As we know, the energy grid in Wisconsin is a subject that's in the news all the time, and new wire power distribution these projects are going on constantly. And if another country is doing it without the lines, that is something that we should know about. And I hope that perhaps she could be contacted on, could be contacted and maybe be on your show.
Wireless transmission lines and what is holding them back here in the U.S. Tim,
right.
Yes, thank you so much for offering that suggestion for a show idea. I also heard Harry in Mount Horeb suggesting Instagram and TikTok star Gary Bredka, who talks about non-mainstream health issues. Barbara in Fall Creek sent along an email to ideas@WPR.org to request a program about expanding the use of electricity to address climate change. And Barbara says the show could explore using federal tax credits to make homes more efficient. Barbara, thank you for that suggestion. Heard from Rachel as well, wrote in by email echoing support for producing more programs about electricity and about sustainable living. Carol in Milwaukee has chimed in, calling to suggest talking about Russian and Chinese oligarchs and hidden money in U.S. banks. What is that about? And Carol goes on to say, would be interested in knowing about inner city politics in neighborhoods affecting housing and housing affordability. We have opened up the phone lines here to find out where you want to take the morning show next. Let's talk about the programming you want to hear this month and into the future at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What questions you want us to explore? What kind of programming would help your family's well-being? You can be part of this caller only, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We invite your ideas for future segments on this caller-only program. And the ideas, they're endless on what could make a segment. In recent days, we've talked about farmland preservation, the opioid crisis, the Wisconsin Dugout Canoe Survey Project, and, you know, we've touched on the game of chess. Do you listen for discussions on politics, on health, education, advice? Maybe it's something else. Join in with your show ideas, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we're also looking out for your email of show topics to ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Catherine in Milwaukee now. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
That's great. So I am hearing that Rupert Murdoch still kind of has his fingers in the media landscape, and I'd be interested in finding out how things are changing in this election year, whether it's social media, other online, offline programming that's going on, and the whole issue of you know, where people are getting their information from, and whether that information is reliable, and what can you do about it?
So the media landscape and what it looks like, Rupert Murdoch, who stepped down as chairman of Fox News last year, and other insights on trust in media as well, I would imagine, Catherine?
Right. You know, what do we need to be looking out for? I mean, we're still dealing with a whole issue of, you know, Fox, you know, being sued for misinformation. You know, what else is going on besides that kind of, you know, major network where people are being bombarded with bad information? And it sort of dovetails with the report that just came out on your break talking about wanting to have patriotism taught rather than civic education. So that's another tool. And I think like in Florida, there's issues with how the media control is impacting, you know, the education that people are getting about how to be civically engaged and the monopoly of, you know, different organizations. Over our media, you know, regardless of whether they're progressive or conservative, is that a good or bad thing? You know, we're hearing so much, for instance, about Sinclair media owner, you know, purchasing a newspaper in Maryland. You know, what kinds of, how is all of this impacting us as we go forward?
Oh, there's a lot there to discuss, Catherine, and really appreciate you bringing this topic, this contribution this morning. Let's go to Marcus now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Good morning. First, I'd like to say, Kate, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. I love your show, as you know, and
thank you.
I appreciate what you guys do. You're welcome. My suggestion is I like to paint, draw, do artistic things in my free time. And so I guess I'm wondering why we don't take and look at using something like glow-in-the-dark paint as a component of the lines that are painted on the sides of roads, because they would actually charge up from the car's headlights as well as from streetlights, and so they wouldn't just be reflective of the headlights, but they'd actually then be emitting some light of their own, too. And I'm wondering if something like that has been looked into and what opportunities are there to make the roads safer in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's interesting, Marcus. So more technology in striping and more technology in the what we put down on the roads to be able to see lanes more clearly. Do you feel like this is an issue for you and not really able to see all the marks on the pavement?
No, but I feel like it's an opportunity in saving energy with all that's going on in the world with electricity, because if the lights are then able to emit and actually light the roadway to a certain extent from their own glow, which is just light that's being absorbed from the streetlights, which are already going to be on, and then re-emitting it, I think it provides an opportunity for us to look at possible ways to decrease energy bills and save electricity while still providing the same amount of safety and or possibly more.
Oh, that's fascinating. Thank you for that. Slightly off topic, but what do you paint? What do you like to paint?
I like to paint landscapes. I use it to light up the sky so that I can have a painting where when it's hanging in just regular light, it looks like it's a daytime scape. But if you put it in a blue light or an ultraviolet light, then you actually get some of the light being re-emitted from the painting. And so it kind of actually gives the sky a bit of a glow behind whatever mountains and trees and such I've painted on there. And something I really enjoy in my free time.
Ah, neat. Well, thank you for illuminating us.
You're welcome.
And have a good day. We received an email this morning from Jay with several show ideas. Here they come. Jay is seeking more programs about chronic wasting disease in deer, programs about badgers and other wildlife in Wisconsin, and programs about grassroots organizations that are focused on conservation efforts, such as the Prairie Enthusiasts. So I see somewhat of a conservation and outdoor theme there. And Jay, thank you so much for those contributions. Sherry in Madison called to suggest having on Gladys McCrary, a physician and author of The Well-Lived Life. Sherry, thank you for that author suggestion. A couple more show ideas here from our inbox. Tom would like a program about eliminating indoor air pollution and has concerns about pollution from gas stoves, dust, lead, PFAS, and other materials. We received another email suggesting a program about alternative public schools, such as the Clark Street Community School in Middleton. Wow, so a range of show ideas, segment ideas here, lots of ideas to go on, excuse me, and you can contribute them. This is caller-only program. Share what's on your mind and what should the morning show cover next. What topics and issues matter to you most? You can share them at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. This one's coming in from Betty in Middleton, called in to ask why more isn't being done to reduce drivers exceeding speed limits and endangering others on the roadways. So reckless driving, the status of it, what can be done to prevent it in Wisconsin communities? Betty, thank you for that suggestion. You know, Kathleen emailed us seeking more programs about affordable housing, and we want to take stock of that. In October and November, we produced this range of conversations about efforts to reduce homelessness and housing insecurity. And in one interview, we talked with John, who was experiencing homelessness and identified as an African-American veteran of the Vietnam War. And John said that their VA disability benefits were wrongfully terminated years ago.
I'm a veteran, honorable discharge. I serve this country, and it's a shame. But it's not just me, you know. There's a lot of African-American veterans who are systematically being kicked off the system, taking back their money from them, and they ended up homeless people. It's a bad situation, and I think people need to pay more attention to that.
And you can be like Kathleen and email your program suggestions to us at ideas@WPR.org or call in now, 800-642-1234. And our program page, it's there for you at WPR.org/mornings to submit a suggestion. You can also look back at programs that we've covered in the past. So many things to do on our program page at WPR.org/mornings. So let's see here. Daniel in Madison recently asked for more programs about school choice in Wisconsin. And in October, author Kara Fitzpatrick outlined tensions that came with the rise of school voucher programs in her book, The Death of Public School, How Conservatives Won the War Over Education in America.
This issue came up fairly early on with Milwaukee, where within the first few years, you had a couple of schools or a few schools, really, where they had financial problems or they had even fraud and abruptly closed. And so all of a sudden, these kids who are using vouchers to attend this school have to find somewhere else to go. And often they end up going back to the public system. And that issue, that is throughout the school choice movement's history. That has happened in every place where they've had this. And it raises this kind of question of accountability, because if you're giving schools money and taxpayer dollars, and maybe they have shaky finances, or maybe they're not being run very well, and they close, and all of these kids are set adrift, you know, is this kind of a good use of taxpayer dollars? And that question has been there since the start.
That is author Kara Fitzpatrick, tracing school choice in Wisconsin and beyond, and on our airwaves. Let's go to Nancy in Wautoma. Nancy, hi.
Hi. We just had two huge solar farms go up in the Wautoma area that aren't even going to benefit our local community in terms of relieving our energy issues, you know. And they're on prime farmland, hundreds and hundreds of acres of prime farmland going under the solar farms. And it's not that I have an objection to solars. It's just that I think that there is other land that's kind of a grade B land, old landfills, areas that are not good for cultivation and everything, that there should be maybe a tax incentive for companies to use that sort of land for putting up the solar farms or the windmills, and then that the community that they build around should have some benefit for that, because my understanding is that the ones in Wautoma, that stuff is going a long way away. Mm. That energy is not going to be even kept in the local community at all.
I think
there should be a little more transparency around that. And that maybe even the community should have something to say about that.
Have you had conversations with your neighbors about these new solar farms? And what are they telling you?
Well, that's what they've heard, too. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't know where the energy is going. We just know that we're not getting any of it. And mm-hmm. There are huge tracts of farmland, huge.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two of them just within a couple of miles of each other that just went up in the Wautoma area. And we want to know why it had to go on farmland, why they can't use alternative sites. Because I think you had maybe a speaker some time ago who talked about land out in Nevada and Utah where they had nuclear waste dump sites, you know, where they buried things and the land is no longer usable for anything. Put the solar there.
These are important questions. Yes.
Yeah. Use land that isn't usable for residential or farming or other more high quality kind of purposes. And then the community should
be able to weigh in.
Where these things go up, they should be able to weigh in. And we should also get some benefit from this.
Well, Nancy, I really appreciate you sharing these thoughts. Really important questions that you bring up to the larger discussions that are going on beyond Wautoma to around Wisconsin and solar energy, solar farms. We're collecting your show ideas and also rewinding on some memorable conversations and looking at what topics deserve more time and attention, from solar to conservation to health. You know, there is still time to bring your topics to this caller-only program. The number is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's the Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's a caller-only program. It's dedicated to you and what you want to bring to these Wisconsin conversations. What are your ideas for future programs and segments? What shows have you enjoyed the most, the least? Which guests should we definitely have back and why? Join in with your program ideas and where we should take the conversation next. We're taking notes. We're taking it all down. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We heard from Jerry in Kakana, called in to ask for a discussion of the importance of the U.S. supporting Ukraine and what could happen if that country loses the war. Jerry, thank you so much for contributing to the conversation. Jake is listening as well today, wrote in by email. Jake would like to hear more discussions about increasing salt levels in the Great Lakes, about the increasing salt levels in the Great Lakes and other forms of runoff pollution like fertilizers. So, Jake, thank you so much as we look at water issues around our state. And Vern in Eau Claire County is here. Vern, hi.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I'd like to talk about electric vehicles. These batteries have such complex charging systems. When it's cold, you have to keep it between 70 and 77 degrees. So a lot of power goes to heating up the car. You got ice and snow on there. There's no way to practical to put in all these charging units. You have to rewire a lot of houses. Apartments don't have charging units in them. And they're just not practical in cold climates.
Vern, thank you for the call and looking at the challenges of charging electric vehicles in very cold weather like we've been experiencing here in Wisconsin, what that reality is, what happens to the batteries in electric vehicles in this type of climate. Thank you so much to explore that topic, and we can explore yours. Call in 800-642-1234 with your show suggestions. Email ideas at WPR.org. We talked with neuropsychologist and professor of medicine Sterling Johnson in a recent conversation and talked about a national study UW-Madison is leading to advance clinical care for Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. And here's part of that conversation.
Each person's different. Their Alzheimer's disease may begin in their mid-50s for one person and their 70s for another person. And their symptoms may not be present till 20 years later. And then the mixture of these other kinds of causes of cognitive impairment may be present to varying degrees. And they may, the timing of each of these additional factors may be different. And that's the challenge, as to how to identify these things in the individual patient so that we can improve their care, so that we can get them on the right treatment and have the right expectations for that treatment as well.
Oh, so looking at new breakthroughs, new studies in Alzheimer's disease, and happening right here in Wisconsin at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Kelly from Clintonville recently asked us to address sustainability issues around the house and how we can help our environmental situation in our homes. And earlier this week, we rebroadcast a conversation with the Washington Post's climate coach, Michael Corrin. And Michael Corrin said that it is our individual actions that can make a difference.
Companies are responsible in many ways for a lot of those emissions, as is policy. But if you look at the big picture and you look at, well, how do we get to 2 degrees? So how do we keep temperatures from rising above 2 degrees? Behavioral change and individual action has to be part of that.
And bring your climate-related topics you want to discuss and many others as we revisit bits and pieces of conversations from our program. And we also want to know, what should the morning show cover next? This is a caller-only program. We're gathering up all your show ideas and the topics that you think deserve more time and attention. So what topics or issues are important to you? Give us a call. Be part of this caller-only program. The number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us. You can email us your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. Carl in Duluth is seeking more reports on the controversial gas and oil pipeline that runs through northern Wisconsin Line 5, the pipeline operated by the Canadian energy firm Enbridge. And in December, we heard from opponents of the pipeline. Here's Beth Wallace from Great Lakes Freshwater Campaigns Manager for the National Wildlife Federation.
They are actively operating Line 5 illegally in two locations. In the Straits of Mackinac, they do not have an easement to operate the current pipelines. And on the Bad River Band, they've been trespassing since 2013. They are trying to dismantle sovereignty, their rights to land and water, so that they can earn the right to operate this 70-year-old pipeline until failure. And, you know, the proposal to reroute the pipeline or to put in this tunnel, all it is doing is extending the life of a 600-mile pipeline that has already leaked 35 times over a million gallons into the environment. It is not protecting our resources. And in fact, it's dismantling core rights that we all should be concerned about across the country.
And then weeks later, we spoke with Paul Eberth from Enbridge about their assurances that relocating pipelines would continue safe operations.
The fact is that a pipeline doesn't pose a significant threat to aquifers. You know, oil, if oil were released from a pipeline, it doesn't move with groundwater. And there's good research that that demonstrates that. Our pipelines have been operating through northern Wisconsin for almost 75 years, you know, line five for 70 years itself. And it's operated safely across a bad river for that time. We've never had a spill on the reservation. We expect and hope to never have a spill on the reservation. And we expect that the relocation project will make, you know, this safe pipeline even safer.
Hearing multiple voices, multiple perspectives, that is what we do on our program. Bring your segment suggestions, 800-642-1234. Sarah in Madison is with us. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Hi, this is a lot softer than the other suggestions, but there's a press in at UW-Stevens Point. I think it might be mostly run by students. Like a book press.
Cornerstone Press?
Mm-hmm. Cornerstone. I didn't know about it till a couple months ago. And the books they're putting out are amazing. And they're often tied to Wisconsin. I think it would be great to have some of the authors and maybe the guy who runs it come on.
Well, thank you for that suggestion. And I do hope you tune in because we are having one author who has published through Cornerstone on, and let me see here, R.B. Simon coming on on Thursday, February 1st at 8 o'clock. So I'm giving you a preview there, but that is coming from Cornerstone Press there, one of their authors. But we will continue to explore their work, and we'll continue to explore all your topics, all your suggestions. Thank you so much for your ideas and contributions to The Morning Show. And don't forget, you can still visit our program page, fill out a really quick two-question form to share more with us. Find us at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.